Wesselin stood next to him, still hugging Siddon tightly. For his part, Siddon didn't look to want anything else in the world but to be rocked in his mother's arms. Kaelin gave a mental shudder at the thought of what might have happened to him. Savidlin turned to her and lifted an eyebrow. "You would make a good elder, Mother Confessor. You could give lessons in honor and leadership."
"I would prefer the lessons weren't necessary."
Savidlin grunted his agreement. Dust and wind, kicked up by the dragon's wings, fluttered past in fits that billowed her cloak. Kaelin was buttoning her cuff when the two men slid off Scarlet. The birdman looked a little green, but he was grinning from ear to ear. He stroked a red scale respectfully and beamed at the yellow eye that watched him. Kaelin approached, and the birdman asked her to translate a message to Scarlet. She smiled and looked up at the dragon's huge head, at its ears which were now turning toward her. "The birdman would like you to know that this has been one of the greatest honors of his life. He says you have given him the gift of a new vision. He says that from this day forward, if you or your young one ever need refuge, you will always be welcome and safe in this land." Scarlet's snout twisted into a sort of dragon grin.
"Thank you, Birdman. I am pleased."
She lowered her head to speak to Richard.
"I must leave now. My young one has been alone long enough and will be hungry."
Richard smiled as he stroked a red scale. "Thank you, Scarlet, for everything. Thank you for showing us your little one. It is even more beautiful than you. Take care of the both of you. Live free." Scarlet spread her jaws wide and reached into the back of her mouth. There was a snap, and she brought a tooth point out, held in her black-tipped talons. It was only a point, but a good 6 inches long.
"Dragons have magic," she told him. "Hold out your hand."
She dropped the tooth point in Richard's palm.
"You seem to have a knack for getting yourself in trouble. Keep this safe. If you ever have great need, call me with it, and I will come. Be certain, as it will only work once."
"But how can I call you with it?"
Her head floated closer to him.
"You have the gift, Richard Cipher. Just hold it in your hand and call to me. I will hear. Remember, great need."
"Thank you, Scarlet. But I don't have the gift."
Scarlet threw her head back and rumbled in laughter. The ground shook. The scales on her throat vibrated. When her fit of laughter died out in spurts, she tilted her head to look at him with one yellow eye.
"If you don't have the gift, then no one does. Live free, Richard Cipher."
Everyone in the village watched in silence as the red dragon grew smaller in the golden sky. Richard put his arm around Kaelin's waist, pulling her close against him.
"I hope that I've finally heard the last of this nonsense about me having the gift," he muttered half to himself. "I saw you from up in the air."
He pointed with his chin across the clearing.
"You want to tell me what that was all about with our friend over there?"
Chandelin was making a point of not looking at her.
"No, it's not important. Are we ever going to get to be alone?"
Kaelin asked with a coy smile.
"Pretty soon I'm going to have to start kissing you in front of all of these people."
Dusk was bringing a cozy, fading light to the impromptu feast. Richard glanced around the grass-roofed shelter at the elders in their coyote hides. They were all smiles and chatter. Their wives and a few children had joined the group. People were stopping by the shelter to welcome the two of them back, smiling and exchanging gentle slaps. Little children across the way were chasing brown chickens that wanted nothing more than to find a place to roost for the night. The chickens squawked as they made flapping escapes. She couldn't understand how the children could stand to be naked, as cold as it was. Women in bright dresses were bringing woven trays of tava bread and glazed pottery bowls of roasted peppers, rice cakes, long boiled beans, cheese, and roasted meats.
"You really think they're going to let us get away before we tell them the whole story of our great adventure?"
"What great adventure? All I remember is being scared to death all the time and being in more trouble than I knew how to get out of."
Her insides twisted in pain at the memory of learning he had been captured by a moored Sith,
and thinking you were dead.
He smiled. Didn't you know? That's what an adventure is, being in trouble.
I've had enough of adventure to last me the rest of my life.
Richard's gray eyes looked distant.
Me too.
Her gaze went to the red leather rod, the aegeal which hung on a gold chain around his neck. She reached back and took a piece of cheese from a platter, her face bright. She put the cheese to his mouth.
Maybe we can just make up a story that sounds like a proper adventure. A short adventure.
Suits me, he said, and then bit off a chunk of the cheese as she held it to his mouth.
Immediately, he spit the cheese into his hand and made a sour face.
This is awful, he whispered.
Really?
She sniffed the piece she still held. She took a tiny bite.
Well, I don't like cheese, but it doesn't taste any worse than usual to me. I don't think it has gone bad.
He was still making the face.
Tastes like it has to me.
Kaelin thought a minute and then frowned.
Yesterday at the People's Palace, you didn't like the cheese there either. And Zed said there was nothing wrong with it.
Nothing wrong with it? It tasted rotten. I ought to know. I love cheese. I eat it all the time. I know bad cheese when I eat it.
Well, I hate cheese. Maybe you're just picking up my habits.
He rolled a roasted pepper in a piece of tava bread and grinned.
I could think of a worse fate.
As she returned the smile, she saw two hunters approaching. Her back stiffened. Richard noticed her reaction and sat up straighter.
These are two of Shandalin's men. I don't know what they want.
She gave him a wink.
Be a good boy. Let's not have an adventure.
Without smiling or answering, he turned and watched the two come. The hunters stopped in front of her at the edge of the platform. They planted the butts of their spears firmly in the ground, leaning on them with both hands. They both assessed her with slightly narrowed eyes and small, tight smiles that weren't entirely unfriendly. The one closest pushed his bow a little farther up on his shoulder and then extended an open hand to her, palm up. She looked down at the hand. She knew what it meant, an open hand offered without a weapon in it. She glanced up at him in confusion.
Does Shandalin approve of this?
We are Shandalin's men, not his children.
He kept the hand out. Kaelin looked at it a moment and then stroked her palm over his. His smile widened a little and he gave her a gentle slap.
Strength to Confessor Kaelin. I am Prindon. This is my brother, Tossadin.
She gave Prindon a slap and wished him strength. Tossadin held his palm open to her. She stroked it with hers. He gave her a slap and added his wish of strength. He had a handsome smile that matched his brother's. Surprised by his friendliness, she returned his slap and greeting. Kaelin glanced to Richard. The brothers noticed the look, and in response both gave Richard a slap and greeting.
We wanted to tell you that you spoke with strength and honor today, Prindon said. Shandalin is a hard man, and a hard man to get to know, but he is not a bad man. He cares deeply for our people and wants only to protect them from harm. That is what we do, protect our people.
Kaelin nodded.
Richard and I are mud people too.
The brothers smiled.
The elders have proclaimed it for all to know. We will protect you both, the same as any other of our people.
Will Shandalin? Both grinned, but neither answered. They pulled their spears up, readying to leave.
Tell them I said they have fine bows, Richard said.
She glanced sideways to see him watching the two. She told his words to Prindon. They smiled as they nodded.
We are very good with them.
Richard's expressionless gaze stayed on the two brothers.
Tell them I think their arrows look to be well made. Ask if I may see one.
Kaelin frowned at him before translating for the hunters. The brothers beamed with pride. Prindon pulled an arrow from his quiver and handed it to Richard. Kaelin noticed that the elders were all quiet. Richard rolled the arrow in his fingers. Betraying no emotion, he looked at the nock and then turned it around and looked at the flat metal point. He handed the arrow back.
Very fine work.
As Prindon replaced the arrow in his quiver, Kaelin told him what Richard had said. He slid a hand partway up his spear and leaned a little of his weight on it.
If you know how to shoot a bow, we would invite you to come with us tomorrow.
Before she could translate, Savadlin spoke to her.
Richard told me before when you were here last that he had to leave his bow behind in Westland and that he missed it. As a surprise, I made him one for when you both came back. It is a gift to him for teaching me how to make roofs that do not leak. It is at my home. I was going to give it to him tomorrow. Tell him, and tell him that if he agrees, I would like to take some of my hunters and go with him tomorrow.
He smiled. We will see if he is as good a shot as our hunters.
The brothers grinned and nodded their enthusiasm. They looked to be confident of the results of the contest. Kalin told Richard what Savidlin had said. Richard was surprised and seemed to be moved by what Savidlin had done.
The mud people make some of the finest bows I have ever seen. I am honored, Savidlin. That is generous of you. I would like very much to have you there with me.
He grinned. We can show these two how to shoot. The brothers laughed at the last part of the translation.
Tomorrow, then, Prindon said as they left.
Richard had a dark look on his face as he watched the two walking away.
What was that all about with the arrows? She asked.
He finally looked over at her. Ask Savidlin if I could have a look at his arrows and I'll show you. Savidlin handed over his quiver. Richard pulled out a handful of arrows, sorting through the ones with thin, hardened wooden points. Kalin knew them to be poisoned. Richard took an arrow with a flat, metal point and put the rest back. He handed the arrow to her.
Tell me what you see.
She rolled it in her fingers as he had done with the other. She didn't know what that was supposed to tell her, so she looked at the point and the knock. She shrugged.
It looks just like an ordinary arrow to me, just like any other.
Richard smiled.
Just like any other?
He plucked an arrow out of the quiver by the knock end, holding the small, round point up for her to see. He raised an eyebrow.
Does it look like this one?
Well, no. That point is small, long, thin, and round, but this one has a metal point. It's just like the one Prindon had.
Richard slowly shook his head.
No, it's not.
He put the wooden pointed arrow back and took the one she had, holding the knock toward her.
See here, where the string goes? It goes on the string like this, with the notch up and down. Does that tell you anything?
She frowned and shook her head.
Some arrows have spiraled feathers so the arrows rotate. Some people believe that increases their power.